Father, we are so thankful that today we can rest in the truth that you are on your throne, and that as the sovereign God of the universe, you have ordained that each of us be here today so that we could be under the teaching of your truths, these truths that combat unbelief, that declare to us who you are, that all you have done for us in the work of Christ Jesus, all the promises that you have given us. And so today we pray that not only would we sit with Bibles open, but we would open our minds and our hearts to receive what you have for us today. That we would listen, knowing that you have already promised that these truths can transform us into the likeness of Christ, can show us what the abundant life that Christ promised is about. And so we pray this morning that there would be no distraction, that there would be nothing that would cause us to turn away or to be pulled away from what you have for us. Do your work as only you can do. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. And as you are being seated, if you would pull out your copy of God's Word and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. If you do not have a Bible with you this morning, as Ryan said, there should be one somewhere near you on a seat underneath. I believe 2 Timothy chapter 4 will be found on page 996. And we encourage you to follow along because, as you will hear multiple times today, we want you to know that this is the truth of God, not the truth of man. Now, we've been walking line by line through the book of 2 Timothy over the last months, and this morning we have arrived at this final chapter of this letter that Paul wrote to this young pastor, Timothy. And because we have a lot to cover this morning, I want to just jump right in. So, look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. We will read verses 1 through 5. Follow along. Paul says, "I charge you in the presence of God and in Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all patience and teaching. For a time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." In Paul's instructions to Timothy, the central command is found here in verse 2, where Paul exhorts Timothy to preach the word. Everything else revolves around that command. This word, of course, refers to the scriptures, the Bible. It is described by Paul in chapter 3, verse 16, as God's truth revealed to humanity through divine inspiration. It is because of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that we know the scriptures contain God's intended message to us about who He is and all that He has done for us in Christ Jesus. We talked about that last week. Therefore, because of that, the primary responsibility of the pastor is to faithfully proclaim these truths, the truths that are contained in Scripture. As pastors, we are to commit to faithfully preach God's Word. And then Paul describes what the faithful proclamation of God's Word looks like. First, he instructs Timothy to be ready in season and out of season. This means the pastor should always be prepared to preach the word, to proclaim the truths, seizing every opportunity to do so, whether the circumstances are favorable or not. That Greek phrase, in season and out of season, literally translates to time and untime. It means the pastor is to be ready both when it's convenient and when it's not convenient. And that could apply to the pastor's life, or it could apply to the life of his hearers. If it applies to the pastor, it means when the circumstances are good or when they're not. Sometimes the circumstances of the pastor's life make it easier to study the word and proclaim the word, and life is good. He's on the mountaintop. But there are other times, believe it or not, that your pastors also walk through the valleys where times are difficult. It's extremely hard to study and to get into the word and all of these things that distract us. Guess what? That's no excuse. We need to be ready to proclaim the word. If it applies to the hearer, it means that we preach the word whether you want to hear what I have to say or whether you don't. Whether you receive the truth or whether you reject the truth. Whether it is popular to proclaim these truths or, like in our day, when it is unpopular to proclaim these truths. The pastor must be committed to the proclamation of the truth, not the number of likes he gets on YouTube. Second, faithfully preaching God's word means Timothy is to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with patience and teaching. These imperatives expound on what it means to preach the word. In chapter 3, verse 17, we saw that the word of God is profitable for teaching and reproof and correction and training in righteousness. Therefore, Timothy is to use the word of God for those purposes. Just as one wouldn't use a table saw to hammer a nail into a piece of wood, you don't take the scriptures and use it for something it was not intended for. It is not given for our entertainment. It is not given so we would feel good about ourselves. God gave us His Word so we could know Him, so we could have a relationship with Him, so we could know how to live a life of godliness that is pleasing unto Him. And so the pastor is to reprove. Reprove could be translated convict. He is to use the Word of God to call out sin in the life of the hearers. So I am to make you aware of those things in your life that do not line up with the righteousness of God that is revealed in His Word. Pastors are also tasked with rebuking. It is not just about proclaiming what is right and wrong in a general sense, but about confronting individuals when they stray from God's truth. This is how sin is addressed in the lives of those that God has placed in the care of the elders. Now, that might not make you happy, it may not make you comfortable or meet your felt needs, but that is not what we have been called to do. To effectively utilize the tool of God's word, pastors must reprove and rebuke based on its truths, not on our opinions, not on what I think is right or wrong in your life. I'm just a man. I am fallible. I have sin in my life as well. But God has tasked the pastors to say, look, this is what God's truth reveals, and your life does not line up with the truth. And so sometimes that needs a harsh word of correction. That's what rebuke is. Out of love and grace, yes. But what the scripture says. But the pastor is also to exhort. Exhortation in this context is encouragement towards godliness. It's not just a general encouragement, again, to make you feel better. Hey, don't worry about your sin. Everything's going to be okay. Oh, don't worry. God is just full of love and grace. And we need to do that. God is full of love and grace. But we need to encourage you towards godliness. It is to, with great patience, with right instruction or teaching, lead you to what God desires in your life, what He reveals is best for you in this life. And so we are to confront sin and direct you towards righteousness in His Word. That means I have to faithfully preach the Word week in and week out. The pastor is to commit to be prepared to declare the truths of God's Word in an effort to point out sin and teach righteousness to his hearers. But Paul then also tells Timothy why it is so important for the pastor to be committed to this task. All the other verses in this section center around what Paul just told Timothy to preach and what preaching faithfully the Word of God looks like. And Paul delineates three key reasons why it's imperative for pastors to fulfill the responsibility to consistently preach the Word of God, whether he feels like it or not, whether you want to hear it or not. So I want to look at these this morning. And my prayer is not that you're going to gain a greater appreciation of your pastors. We do not want the spotlight on us. But my prayer is that you will gain a greater appreciation for the Word of God and the importance of submitting yourself and putting yourself under the proclamation of its truths. So let's look at these three reasons why the pastor should be committed to the faithful preaching of God's Word. Number one, a commitment to faithfully preach God's Word is important because the final judgment is near. The final judgment is near. Look at verse 1. Paul says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing and His kingdom. In the early Greek writing, this particular formula that Paul uses, and what I mean by that, we can take what Paul uses in the words and the word order, and we compare it to other writings of that day, and we see that it was used in formal installment ceremonies. So think we're going to have an election when we install the president and he is sworn in, or you swear in a judge, right? They raise their hand and then they say, repeat after me, and they pledge to hold the office in high regard and all of those things. And so they're being ushered into a ministry or a service. And Paul delineates these to Timothy as telling him, listen, you have been called on God in Christ to be a pastor, to take on this ministry of gospel ministry for me. And I am calling God and Jesus Christ to be a witness of this passing on of my ministry to you. At the heart of this gospel ministry is the preaching of the Word. And so he's charging Timothy in the presence of God and Christ Jesus to demonstrate the importance of Timothy's commitment to the preaching of the Word. Remember, Paul is about to die. And so it is important that someone take this ministry of declaring the gospel from him. And so he's passing it on to Timothy, and he wants him to know the importance of not leaving the truths of God's Word and proclaiming only these truths. And so he says, I charge you before God and Jesus Christ. They are the witnesses to this charge. You are not going to have to answer to me, Timothy. You are going to have to answer to God and to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one who judges the living and the dead. That phrase, the living and the dead, was used to designate everyone, the whole of mankind. In other words, whether you're dead or whether you're alive, doesn't matter how long ago it has been or what's going on. If you're alive, Jesus, when he returns, is going to judge everyone. But in the New Testament, it always has a theological implication. The living are those spiritually alive in Christ. We have been raised to new life in Jesus Christ. Those who are dead are spiritually dead. Those who are apart from Christ, and therefore they have no spiritual life. Then Paul says, by his appearing in his kingdom. And so he's continuing this thought of judgment. The word appearing in the Greek is where we get our word epiphany, which is originally referred to the sudden return of Christ. We are expecting the return of Christ. He will come like a thief in the night. We do not know when. No one knows when. But he will come, and he will come in a flash. It will be an epiphany. And so you can see how it evolved to a sudden and striking realization about something. In the moment that Christ returns, you will have a striking realization that all that has been said in this word is true. And then he refers to Christ's kingdom. That points to the full and final ushering in of Christ's eternal reign and victory over his enemies at his return. That would obviously be Satan. However, it would also be anyone who had rejected Christ as Lord here on earth. As well, this kingdom is where the believer, those in Christ, will reign with Christ. And so, to sum all of this up, Paul is saying to Timothy that the preaching of the Word of God should be of the highest importance because he will be accountable to God and to Christ, whose sudden return to judge all mankind and usher in his kingdom is drawing close. That's what he's saying. And this has ramifications for the believer and the unbeliever. When Christ came the first time, he came riding on a colt to offer salvation to mankind. When he comes again, he will be riding on a white horse to judge mankind. And he will judge those who have died, and he will judge those who are still alive, and he will judge those who are spiritually alive, and he will judge those who are spiritually dead. Now listen, those who are alive in Christ will not be judged for their sin, because they have been forgiven of their sin. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. So if you have put your faith in Christ, then you will not be judged for your sin. However, you will be judged for how you lived this new life that has been given to you by God. What have you done with the salvation that you have claimed? The salvation that you have asked from God and He has given to you. And so each believer will give an account of what they did with this abundant life that they received by grace. But listen, believer, in that moment, it's going to be too late for you to get your house in order, to all of a sudden do the works that you have been called by God to do in this life. Therefore, it is imperative that the pastor proclaim the truths of the Word of God without reserve and without apology, so that your life is spurred on to good works and eternal reward. We preach the truth, and we rebuke and we reprove and we encourage you to righteousness, because there is coming a day when Christ is going to come and you will stand before Him and you will have to give an answer for the salvation that has been given to you. If He comes right now, would you be ready? Would you be ready? But those who are spiritually dead apart from Christ will be judged according to their sin. At Christ's return, it will be too late to bow the knee and find salvation and forgiveness from your sin. Therefore, it is imperative that the pastor proclaim the truths of the Word of God without reserve and without apology to the unbeliever, so that they are exposed to the only means of salvation from the fiery judgment to come. Listen, unbeliever, when Christ comes, yes, God is loving, yes, He is kind, yes, He is gracious, but He is also just. And your sin separates you from God. When you sin, what you are saying is, God, I want nothing to do with you, and I want you to have nothing to do with my life. I don't want your laws. I don't want your rules. I don't want you to tell me what to do. I've got it under control, but out. And He is holy and He is righteous. And what we all deserve in that moment is immediate destruction. But God, in His grace and His love, keeps us alive. Why? So that you have opportunity to hear the gospel, to hear that He loved you so much that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins. So that Christ takes the penalty for your sin, the judgment that you deserve, and you receive His forgiveness. And that God raised Him from the dead 3 days later. And so now Christ defeated sin and death for you. And when you put your faith and trust in His death and resurrection, you receive His righteousness, you receive forgiveness, and therefore you are saved from judgment. And when you stand before God, you will stand before God as though you had never, ever sinned, and as though you had obeyed all the commands in His Word. It's what Ryan was praying in his prayer. We don't come today to impress God, to try to get something from God. All the work has been done in Christ Jesus. Yet if you reject Christ, if you reject God's only means of salvation for you, then you will, when Christ comes, face His judgment. Listen, for the believer, the pastor is like a coach. He teaches and he encourages team toward the goal of winning and the trophy that awaits them in the Lord. For the unbeliever, the pastor is like the first responder who warns of the dangers ahead and then directs them to salvation. And so it is imperative the pastor be committed to the Word of God and to faithfully proclaim its truths week in and week out. Paul is passing on what Jesus passed on to his disciples. In Acts 10:42, Peter, he's preaching to the Gentiles. He's proclaiming, and this is what he says, "And Jesus commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that He is the one appointed by God to judge the living and the dead." Peter is saying, listen, you need to know that we have been instructed by God Himself to proclaim to you the gospel. Why? Because Jesus will come again, and when He comes, He is coming to judge the living and the dead. We proclaim these truths because of the imminent return of Christ. It is important because your eternal destiny hangs in the balance. Now, you may not like the fact that Christ is coming as a judge. You may not want to hear that he's going to judge you based on what you have done with the salvation he's given you. You may not like to think about a God who will justly punish those who have rejected him. But that does not change the fact that Christ is coming, and he is coming to judge. Therefore, I will not allow you as a believer to live in sin, but will continue to reprove and rebuke and exhort. And I cannot and will not stop preaching that Jesus is the only way to salvation. And so my hope today is that instead of getting mad at the messenger, is that you will bend the knee to God while he is still offering you his grace. I pray that as a believer, you will turn from your sin and you will walk in righteousness. I pray that if you are not a follower of Christ, that you will repent and you will give your life to him. His return is near. I hope that you are ready. But number two, a commitment to faithfully preach God's word is important because fleshly desires will lead some to turn to false teaching. Your fleshly desires will lead some to turn to false teaching. Look at verse 3. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. That is teaching that comes from the truth of God's word. But instead, having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. In verse 3, Paul gives the reason that reproving, rebuking, and exhorting with the word of God is so important. Because there is going to be a time, Paul says, there is a time that is coming where people will not endure the sound teaching of the word because their ears itch for something else. You ever had an itch on your back that you couldn't get to and there was nobody around? And it's just like driving you crazy, right? And so you're looking for a door frame. You're looking for anything that you can to scratch that itch. That's exactly what Paul's talking about. They have ears, and it has an itch. And they need it to be scratched. Now that itch they have is a desire to pursue their own fleshly passions, the desires of the flesh, the things they think are going to make them happy and fulfilled. And so what do? To scratch that itch? They find teachers who will do it for them, who will not reprove and not rebuke, but will compromise the truth so that the hearer can live unchallenged in their sin. And because they do, there's two results. First, they turn away from listening to the truth. In order to follow the desires of your flesh, you must ignore God's truths. You have to. But the faithful proclamation of the Scripture continues to confront you with the truth. And so here's what you have. You have one who has fleshly desires. That's everyone, by the way. Everybody has desires of the flesh, and they want to pursue those. They're drawing them away. And then on the other side, you have pastors, and their job is to proclaim what is truth, to proclaim that no, don't follow that desire, that sin. Instead, turn away by faith and walk in righteousness. And so every week we're pulled away and we're dragged away by our desires, but then we come in and the pastor stands up and he says, "Thus saith the Lord, this is the truth, this is godliness, this is righteousness." And we go prepared to go back out into the week. And we fight and we fight and we come back in on Sunday and the pastor says, "Thus saith the Lord." What happens if you're out there and you fight and you fight and you fight against those desires and you come back in and the pastor says, "Oh, it's okay. I'm not going to confront you with sin. I'm not going to tell you what God's word says about your sin and the consequences of that sin." Well, now you get to live in your sin and you think everything's okay. That's why it has to be proclaimed, because the proclaiming of the truth of God's word on a weekly basis sets up a guard against you following your fleshly desires. That's why we have to proclaim the truth. And so those who either have these passions either turn from their sin or they turn from what convicts them of their sin. So if you come to a place and you want to sin and you come to a place and the pastors and the teachers keep saying, "Thus saith the Lord, and we will not compromise," you have a choice. You either repent or you go find somebody that doesn't preach in a way that convicts you that compromises the truth. And that's what Paul is saying. There's coming a day when they will do that. And let me tell you, it is everywhere. Listen, there are pastors all over TV, all over in churches, in buildings, wherever. And you can go and you can live in your sin and you will be quite comfortable in your sin because they compromise. And you think that you are happy and you think that you are going to be fulfilled because you are following your own desires. But I promise you, you are not. And this path, it seems to lead to happiness because it frees you from following your passions, only leads to further destruction, because there is a second result of following those who compromise the truth. And that is, you're led to follow other heresy. See, something that begins as the fulfillment of a sinful desire leads to the acceptance of false belief. See, when you follow someone who is willing to compromise the truth in an area of sin, they've already proven that they are willing to compromise the truth completely. So let's just pick one that is a topic that is hotly debated and people don't like: homosexuality. There are people who say that homosexuality is in the Bible, that God approves of homosexuality. And so what do? If they want to live a homosexual lifestyle, they are not going to sit under a pastor who says, "Thus saith the word of God." Well, there are a plethora of pastors in all kinds of denominations who will let you live in your sin of homosexuality and you will be quite comfortable. But listen, here's what you're going to find. If they compromise in that truth, they've already said, "I'm willing to compromise in the rest of the truths of the word of God." So it doesn't matter whether it's homosexuality or cheating on your taxes or cheating on your wife or whatever it is. If they're willing to compromise in that sin, they're willing to compromise about who God is. They're willing to compromise about other truths that He has claimed in His Word that are truth. And so what begins to happen is, not only are you just living in your sin, now you're being led away by that one into false teachings. And by the way, because you have said, "I'm willing to compromise in this area of my life," you've already proven that you're willing to follow him and compromise in all the other areas. So you have a leader that is compromising, you have a follower who's already compromised, and there we all go down the path, and you find yourself way, 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 way away from just, "I wanted to be comfortable in my sin." And you find yourself following a false teacher. So the pastor must be fully committed to faithfully preach the word of God, because it serves as a guardrail in your life to prevent you from following your passions, which can then result in wandering off into heresy. There was an incident in 2021 where a group of college students were up on a balcony. And there were so many of them, as they leaned on the guardrail, that guardrail gave way and fell, and seven of them fell to their death. And the pastor is not committed to faithfully preach the word of God, he's like a failing guardrail. He does not protect the people from the lies of Satan and the false teachings he espouses. Yes, ultimately those who hear the truth must choose or reject, must receive it or reject it. But it is unacceptable for pastors to compromise the truth in order to scratch the itch of the people. He must stand firm, willing to reprove and rebuke, and to be the guard that is needed. In 2 Peter 2, verse 1, it says, "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction, and many," listen, "and many will follow their sensuality, their passions, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed." That's many, folks. They're in the Word of God. They are in the church. And yet, because they are willing to compromise, because they want their ears scratched, they will find someone who will do that, and he will lead them astray, and many will compromise. Many will compromise. Brothers and sisters, you need a guard in your life that will not fail. You need pastors who will be faithful to uphold the truth of God's word and not compromise in order to be popular or in order to be accepted even by you. Listen, that is why the preaching of the word is central to our worship services. The preaching event is not a speech to just lift you up. It is a hearing of God's truth to set you right. And so the ball is in your court. You can give in to your desires, you can turn from the truth, and you can seek out those who will let you live in your sin. And let me tell you, you will find them. They are everywhere. Or you can submit yourself to the authority of God's word and you can pursue righteousness. You can sit yourself under the preaching that tells you the truth about loving your wife, about raising your children, about proper relationships, about what to do with your money. Or you can put yourself under those who will tickle your ears and make you feel good about your sin. However, know that compromise in one area will lead to compromise in others. The path that allows you to pursue your own passions is filled with discouragement, discontent, disappointment, and the discipline of God. So beware. But there's a third reason found in verse 5. A commitment to faithfully preach God's word is important because it is necessary to fulfill the ministry of the pastor. Paul says in verse 5, "As for you, Timothy, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." Here he contrasts those who have turned away from the truth and wandered off into myths, those who are teaching those myths, those false teachers, with what Timothy is to do. Timothy is to resist becoming a teacher that facilitates the fleshly desires of the people, no matter how hard it is. He has to fight against that. Instead, he is to remain faithful to the call that God has placed on his life, a call that has the faithful preaching of God's word at its core. And in order to do this, Timothy must be sober-minded. This is not dealing with drunkenness, but with clear-headedness. So the pastor must have a mental and spiritual alertness to what is going on around him so that he is able to address all of that with the truth. He cannot bury his head in the sand. He has to understand what's going on. What is the heart of man? What does God say about these things so that he can address those? That's exactly what the false teachers and those who followed them was lacking. A clear understanding and a clear understanding of God's word. The pastor must not be distracted by the things of the world, the things that pull on him to compromise, to follow other truths. He must remain vigilant like a watchman on the wall, warning against sin and declaring unrighteousness while also leading the people to the safety and the refuge of God's truth. But he also must be willing to endure the suffering that comes with that responsibility, Paul says. Now, Paul's already said to Timothy on many occasions that suffering is to be expected. But now we see this suffering here in the context of Timothy's role as the preacher pastor. Yes, the pastor is going to suffer because the world hates him and what he stands for. But the pastor will also suffer because there is going to be seasons when those under his watch are going to follow their own passions and they are going to turn away from the truth. For a pastor to put hours into the study of God's word, to declare its truths to those that he cares for so deeply, to sacrifice so much in order to lead them to follow Christ, to invest in them, and then to watch them love their sin so much that they turn away from the truth and follow a lie, that brings great suffering. Suffering that comes from the world brings physical hurt, but the suffering that comes from watching believers turn toward their sin and walk away, that cuts to the heart. So part of the call to preach the word is a call to suffer. And then Paul says, do the work of the evangelist. Now, the evangelist in the Bible is one who heralds the good news about Jesus Christ. That should be all of us. We are all evangelists, or at least should be. I do not believe that this is a separate office designated in the church, like pastor, deacon. I think that it points to those who have a gifting of the Holy Spirit that gives them a distinct ability to communicate the gospel in a way that is used by God to draw many to himself. So Though there is the gift of evangelism in some, we all have been called to do evangelism. And part of the role of the preaching event is to lay out all the truths of the gospel for the people to hear. And so Paul is saying to Timothy, do the work of the evangelist. Be one who declares the truths of the gospel that are contained here. Do not stray away from that truth. Do not compromise in the only way of salvation, which is in Christ Jesus. And so that's the role of the preaching event. The pastor is to tell the people that Jesus is the only way to salvation. And so, apart from the faithful proclamation of the word of God, the pastor cannot fulfill his call. That's why Paul sums this up in verse 5 with, fulfill your ministry. I am passing this gospel ministry on to you, Timothy. Fulfill it. Do not compromise. This is why the ability to teach is a requirement for the office of the elder in every place that those requirements are listed. Anytime Paul or others list out the requirements of being an elder, being a pastor, his ability to teach is always there. So the elder can no more be a biblical elder apart from the faithful preaching of the word than a quarterback can be a quarterback apart from shouting out plays at the line of scrimmage. He can stand there all he wants. But if he is not calling out plays and he's not directing, then he's not going to be a quarterback. The pastor can lead. The pastor can do administration. The pastor can stand at the back and shake hands. But he is not a pastor. He is not an elder unless he stands and he faithfully proclaims the word of God. It is a fulfillment of his ministry. So family, I cannot move the preaching of God's word to a lesser place in our services. I will not preach in order to entertain you. I will study and I will give you all I have, but to do anything less is to ignore the God-given call he has placed on my life, and for him to do anything less is to ignore the God-given call placed on his life. And I would rather stand before God, having done all I can do to answer that call in order to please him, than to do so in a way that pleases you. Listen, God has given us the gift of his word. It is the very revelation of the Creator God of all things himself. And in his plan, he ordained that men, leaders in his church, would proclaim his word so all might hear his truth. And I must faithfully preach what he has given for us to receive. Because Christ's return is near, because your flesh is constantly pulling you away, and because it is what God has called me to do. Therefore, I will not compromise. And so as we move into our time of personal response this morning, let's prepare our hearts as we think about what God might be calling us to do. Listen, it may be that for you this morning, there's a heightened awareness of the need of God's word in your life. If this is the level of importance God has placed on the proclamation of his word, how important is it for you to be under the preaching of that word? I just can't understand those who find it acceptable to not make it a priority to place themselves under the preaching of God's word. Whether that's here at Faith Family or it's somewhere else, seek to belong to a church where the study and proclamation of God's word is primary. And then do all you can to do to be there every time it is proclaimed. Now listen, I wish I could just say, go find a church. But I can't say that anymore. I hadn't been able to say that for a pretty long time. You need to know what they believe. You need to know what is going to be proclaimed from that pulpit. So if it is not here, or if God moves you to another place because of job or something else, when you seek out a church, the first thing you want to know is, are they tied to the word of God as the infallible word of God, that it is truth, and do they preach it as such? Because if that step is wrong, then everything else is going to be wrong. So it takes work now. You can't just say, well, that guy just, man, he's so funny. He tells good jokes. Oh, man, he moved me. I had an emotional response. I don't care about your emotional response. Did he proclaim the truths of God's word? Now you can move on to other things, whether their youth group is fun or whether whatever. Whatever's important for you. Do they proclaim the truth of God's word week in and week out? And listen, it's one thing to listen to podcasts, to the radio, or even watch TV. However, the reproving, rebuking, and exhorting that Paul is instructing here is not accomplished from a distance. And I think that's why most people keep their distance, because they're satisfied to listen as they guard themselves from deeper accountability. Yes, amen from my living room, but don't start messing with my life. Don't start tweaking things. That makes me uncomfortable. So let me encourage you to change that this morning. Nobody likes for others to see and to know their faults, me included. I don't like for people to know that I am a sinner. It's just our nature. But listen, that's why God put us in a group, so that we could help each other, we could encourage each other. That's not what is best, hiding from each other. So I'm not talking about the pastor raiding your house and putting it on the screens for everybody to see. I'm not talking about public floggings. That's not the point. We don't do that here. What I'm talking about is availing yourself to the truths of God's word and to what God has put in your life by the grace of other believers and a pastor who is willing to come to you because they love you enough and say, brother, sister, I see this in your life and it doesn't line up with God's word. As much as I hate for people to know my faults, I love to know that God has placed in my life by his grace those who will speak into my life and say, brother, what you're doing does not line up with godliness. So get yourself in a church. Join. Because what you are saying when you join is, I submit to the leadership and I am going to be held accountable by this body. Maybe that's what you need to do this morning. You just need to express that you want to join Faith Family, or if it's not Faith Family, find somewhere where they preach the word and don't just sit there. Don't be a long-term visitor. Tell them, okay, you preach the word of God. I get ministered to here. I want to join. I want to be accountable to this group. Or I wonder if for some this morning, you've already begun the process of turning away from the truth. You know your desires and your passions are drawing you away, and you are step by step, little by little, begin to follow them more and more. Let me encourage you this morning, turn back before you find yourself compromising in other areas of your life. I promise you will. You think you want, but because you are compromising in this area, you have already proven that you will compromise in others. I know you tell yourself you want. But it has happened so many times. If you reject God's call to repent in this area, why would you reject his call to repent in other areas? And so you're in a dangerous place. Let me exhort you this morning. Do not give in to the flesh. Turn back to God and receive his forgiveness this morning. But finally this morning, you may be here and you've never heard that there is a God who created you and he loves you and he gave you what was best. But in your selfishness, you rejected him, and that your sin is deserving of his judgment. But in his grace and his love, he sent his only son to take on flesh, to walk on this life and live a perfect, sinless life, and to go to a cross and be bloodied and tortured and to die for your sin, so that you would not have to receive the judgment that you deserve. And that he rose from the grave so that you could receive eternal life. Listen, I want to invite you this morning to say yes to his invitation of salvation. All that means is you come to God and you tell him that you're sorry for your sin and that you want to turn away from that sin and you want to turn to him. That you believe that Jesus is his son and that he died on the cross for you and that you want his forgiveness. And that you believe that he raised from the grave and you want his new life. And if you ask God to save you, the Word of God, the truth of God, says that He will. Will you bow your head and close your eyes with me this morning? As we move into our time of response, I want to invite you to think about, as they begin to play and sing this morning, are you going to say yes to what God is calling to you this morning? Is it repentance? Then say yes. Is it joining a church? Then say yes. Is it salvation? Say yes. You will never go wrong with saying yes to God. Lord God, we thank You for Your truth. We thank You that we can know that it is from You, that it is infallible, that it does not have error, and that what You have given us this morning about how to be saved is the only way that we can be saved. The call to repentance is a call in Your grace that promises You will forgive. And so, Lord, as You work even in my heart this morning, I pray that we would not dig in our heels, that we would not cling and hold to our own desires and passions, but we would let go and let You have Your way. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. With your head bowed and eyes closed, as they begin to play, as they begin to sing, if you want to be saved, Pastor Ryan and I are here. We would love to talk to you about that. If you just want someone to pray with, you come. Slip out from where you are. You come. You come to these steps. Use them as an altar to lay down that sin. But whatever it is that God is calling you to do, you come right now. You come. Say yes to Him.